Welcome to the Connect Community Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. We're so glad to have you with us today. If you're ever in our area, come see us in person. We hope today's message inspires you and helps you live better.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me in Connecticut. This is my first time in Connecticut, but I don't think it's the last time. At least I don't want it to be the last time anyway. But it is a pleasure to be here. Like Pastor JD said, we've been in Zurich, Switzerland for, I think it's been 4 years. You kind of lose any track of time when you're church planting. You have no idea what's going on. Church planting and raising kids and running a business and doing everything that you're doing. But we're enjoying it. God's doing something great there. We feel privileged to be called there. Zurich is a beautiful place. Could be worse places to go and plant a church, right? It's a beautiful place, and you're all invited. I want to speak to you this morning from this this concept, this idea of the theology of creativity. The theology of creativity. I flew in on, I've been in Boston before I was here for, I think it was 4 days, something like that. And before flying in, I was sick for about 2 or 3 days, so I didn't really sleep for like 2 or 3 days. You know when you're sick and you can't really sleep, you're tossing and turning. So I came to the flight and I was like, great, I'm going to sleep on this flight and I'm going to enjoy it. And I had a good sleep on the first flight, then I landed in New York and I was like, okay, I'm just going to get on the next flight, get to the hotel and then sleep through the night. And we were stuck, I think I had a 2-hour layover in JFK and then it was delayed 5 hours on top of that as well. So I was sat on those airport chairs, which why are they not like these chairs? At least make them a little bit comfortable for 5 hours just waiting for the flight from JFK to Boston, which is like 1 hour and 10 minutes. I could have walked there probably quicker. Finally got on the flight. Then we were delayed 1 hour on the runway. Finally got to Boston at around 3 a.m. or something. Picked up a car, drove to the hotel. I think I went to bed at like 4:30 a.m., and then because I have kids, I woke up at 6 a.m. Like, how good is God? 6 a.m., I was awake. I was like, great. The whole trip was, like, pretty exhausting. It was great, and, you know, it's a blessing to be able to travel and do things, especially when you're doing things for God. It really is a blessing. But I was pretty exhausted and tired. And I thought about there's moments in all of our lives where you get both exhausted and tired. There's moments in all of our lives where you feel like, I don't know that I have strength or energy. You ever been there? You raising kids as a single parent, if you're raising kids, we understand what it means to have zero energy and zero strength. I'm not a single parent, but I was raised by a single parent. And I often think my mom probably had zero energy and zero strength most of the time because she was trying to raise a kid. Life is just sometimes like that, isn't it? And the reason life is like that is because energy and strength are finite. You don't have a limited resource of energy and strength. And I've often thought about this. When it comes to the call on our lives to impact the world at large, but also our immediate world, our families, our communities, the city, the state, the place that we're in, when it comes to that, it's challenging because energy and strength is what it requires to do something of impact, yet energy and strength are finite. So I'm left with this question. Do I have what it takes to impact the world? I think it's a good question for all of us to ask ourselves. Do I have what it takes to impact the world? And I want us to explore that. Can we explore the question? We can. Some of us are okay with us exploring the question. Some of us aren't sure if we want to explore it. People are like, I don't know if I want to explore that. That's a tough question, deep question. I might come out with some insecurities. I promise you won't today. But I want us to back up a little bit to be able to answer that question. And I figure we should start in the beginning with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says this. It says, in the beginning, I don't know if we could have it on there as well. Otherwise, you're going to see the back of my head because we have a lot of scriptures today. You can't speak on the theology of creativity and not have any scriptures. So I've packed this sucker with a lot of scriptures. Anyway, I'm going to keep turning around and we've got grace for that, haven't we? The back of my head is good too. Maybe better than the front. I don't know. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the earth. And the Spirit of God, I underlined it to make a point that this is an important thing. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And because God said, let there be light, there was light. That's the power that is in the Spirit of God. So when God spoke, it wasn't just like light did not just, it did, but it didn't just obey his voice. It was the breath, the Spirit of God that went with those words that began to form the earth. If you look at, if you just get the James Webb imagery and look at the universe, what was created, even if you just like, you intrinsically look at humans, you look at the details of what we're made of, all of that was from God speaking and the breath, the Spirit of God behind those words being breathed out. It created humanity, created our existence, the whole world that we get to experience. The Spirit of God, in the Hebrew, the word for spirit is ruach. You have to do the throat thing. You cannot say the word ruach without sounding like, it's a Hebrew word. I love it. It means this: wind, breath, mind, spirit. It's a warlike energy. You imagine the earth and the universe being formed, stars, galaxies. It needed some warlike energy to be able to create all of that. It's the energy of life. I love this too. It's the animation of man. The animation of man, as in mankind, not just men, but the animation of humanity. I love this. Genesis chapter 1:27. Look what it says. God created mankind in his own image. It says, in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. When he spoke, he also created humanity. He created all of us. He made us by, look at this, Genesis 2 verse 7. It says, the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils. And the man became a living being. The reason a man became the living being is because the Spirit of God, the Ruach Spirit, was breathed into him and he became animated. Look what it says in Acts chapter 14, 17. In him we live and move and have our being. The reason we exist, the reason we function, the reason we got up today, the reason we're doing what we're doing, the reason you have the intelligence, the intellect, the intuition, everything inside you, the thing that animates who we are today is the Spirit of God deep within us, functioning, moving, shifting, forcing us, walking with us, and animating us to be able to live the lives that we're living. It's the Spirit of God in us that enables us to do what God has called us to do. In the Old Testament, it said that the Spirit of God rested on people. But the Bible says in the New Testament, God poured his Spirit out on people. Look at Joel chapter 2, verse 28. It says, you guys are good. It says, afterwards, I'll pour out my Spirit on all people. Not just some people, on all people. It says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Old men will dream dreams and young men will have visions, dreams and visions and prophecy, because it's going to take some dreams. It's going to take some visions. It's going to take some prophecy to be able to impact the world that we're living in, to make a difference in Connecticut, in Stamford. It's going to take some dreams and some visions and some prophecy. It's going to take some Ruach Spirit on the inside of us to be able to make a difference. And it's going to be God that's moving within us. God poured his Spirit out on all people. If I had a bottle of water up here and I accidentally kicked it, I would spill that water and it would be an accident, wouldn't it? I don't know if it would be an accident. Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. It would be an accident. But if I took the bottle of water and I poured it into a cup, that would be on purpose. There's a very big difference between accident and purpose. God didn't spill his Spirit out on all people. He poured it out, which tells me this, that it was intentional, that it was on purpose, for purpose, right? He poured it with intention, going, I'm giving my Spirit for a reason, on purpose, for purpose. And if God does something with intention, you've got to know that he did it for a reason. So in other words, if the Spirit of God is in me, I better get good at figuring out what's the reason. Why did he put his Spirit within me? Why did he put his Spirit on me? There must be a purpose to it. There must be a reason. And I think there's two initial primary reasons that God pours his Spirit out on all people. Everyone okay still? You can understand the Queen's English?
the Queen's English, okay? We call it the King's English sometimes, but it's originally the Queen's English. There are two reasons. First of all, God poured his spirit out on all people to transform the human heart. That's the original reason. And that is the creativity, the power that's behind the Spirit of God on people to be able to transform the human heart. Remember he said in the Bible, I will take the heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. His spirit is working within us to transform us. That's the original reason. God wants to transform our lives. And he does that internally, by the way, from the inside out, not from the outside in. More stuff is not going to transform my life. More stuff is not going to heal me. More stuff is not going to help my life get better. It starts from the inside out. So the first reason is to transform the human heart. And then the second reason is to transform the world. Because God knew this, if he could transform our hearts, transforming the world would just be an overflow of what God already does in each and every one of us. Like, that's the purpose, if he can transform our hearts. Jesus said this when he opened the scroll in the temple. He read this, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because, this is what Jesus knew, the Spirit is on me for a reason. There's a purpose to the Spirit of God being on me. It is because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In other words, Jesus lived his life knowing that there was a purpose on him and there was a purpose for him. And he lived his life in response to the fact that God had put his spirit on him for a reason and for a purpose. When Jesus was baptized, remember the picture, the imagery of when Jesus was baptized? He was baptized and the Spirit of God came on him. There was a dove, a little picture of a dove flying in the air just to remind us that the Spirit of God was on him. And then it says, I love this. It says, he went into the desert, right, to be tempted by the devil. You remember this? What I love is it says, the Spirit of God led him to the desert. Wait, what? Wasn't the devil that led him to temptation? No. The Spirit of God led him to this moment of temptation, this season of testing. Why did he do that? And here's why I think he did it, because every test is followed by a tension. You feel a tension in your life, it could be God is testing you. And listen, he's not testing in a way that you can pass or fail. The test is to train you. The test is to train you. What follows the test is a tension. The reason there's a tension is because God's taking you from where you were to where he's calling you. And that creates some tension in your life. So the tension leads you into transition. And transition ultimately creates transformation. And Jesus went from the desert through that testing, that tension, and that transition from being a Jesus that grew. Because the Bible tells us he grew in stature. There was a time when he was like, I'm not ready for the miracles yet. Mother, please, I'm not ready yet. But he transitioned to this point where he started his ministry, and it was the Spirit of God on him that initiated this whole process so that he could go out and minister to people. Look at this, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. It will animate your body. That's good news if you're sick today. It's good news if you need a healing today. It's good news today if you're feeling some turmoil in your soul, what's that word, Mr. Wordsmith? Some distraughtery. That's good news, because what you know is that if Jesus was raised, I always think about this, Jesus died. Okay, good news, he rose again, but he died for a moment. And when you die, your body, this is kind of gross maybe for a Sunday morning, but your body, it does stuff. Disintegrates, it disappears eventually. But the Spirit of God on him was so powerful, church, that it rose him back to life. Cells, blood began to flow, his heart began to beat again. It rose him back to life. That same Spirit, the Bible is telling us, lives in every single one of us. Every single one of us. It's running through your body right now, able to do miraculous stuff that we can't even comprehend. Look at this, what it says in 1 John. In this union and fellowship we have, love is completed and perfected in us so that we have confidence in the day of judgment with assurance and boldness, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is. In other words, God created you in his image. If he is a creator, you are a creative being. And there is a Ruach, creative spirit, running through your body right now that is able to do some miraculous things in your life, but also in the overflow into the world that you're involved in. There's a word in the Greek dictionary that's the same word for spirit, and it is pneuma. And pneuma means this. It means the vital principle by which the body is animated. In other words, this Ruach, the spirit of God that's working through you, it's animating you and then enabling you to do whatever it is God is calling you and I to do. Remember the question we started with. Do you have what it takes? Do I have what it takes to make an impact in the world? Do I have what it takes to raise two kids, to build a church, to reach a city, to build a business? Do I have what it takes? I have a pneuma spirit. I have a Ruach spirit within me, a vital principle that is animating my life, that is enabling me to do what I'm called to do. There is a trinity to this Ruach spirit. In other words, there is a combination of three things that make the spirit of God what it is. And this might sound arbitrary. This might sound like I'm just choosing three random things and throwing them out, but it is made up of three things: wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. You can write that down if you want to. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Look at this. Proverbs 3:19-20. Remember now, when God spoke and when the earth was formed, it said that the Spirit of God was hovering over it. And then it says God spoke and the world came into being. It says this in Proverbs: by wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. And by his knowledge, the watery depths were divided. And I love this. This means it rained. The crowds let drop their dew. The clouds let drop their dew. But it was wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. The Spirit of God, three things: the wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. To creativity, there is three things. There is wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Let me explain it to you like this. Understanding, or let me start with knowledge. Knowledge is the ability or the intellect to know what is needed. You got to have knowledge to reach a city. You got to have knowledge to do what God has called you to do. You got to have the intellect to know what is needed, right? You got to know. You can't go to a city to make a difference. You can't turn up in a job to make a difference there. You can't raise kids without knowing what's needed. So it begins with the intellect to know what is needed. And then it's also the understanding, is the empathy, not just to know what's needed, but to feel what's needed. Understanding, that's what understanding is. There's a difference between knowing and understanding, right? Someone could call you and say, hey, I can't make it to our meeting, and you can know that they're not coming to the meeting, but you might not understand it. They might say, hey, you know, some stuff came up, so I can't make the meeting. You, okay, I know you're not coming, but I do not understand why you're not coming. And if they explain to you, hey, because some stuff happened at home, actually one of my family members is sick, you now know they're not coming, but you understand why they're not coming. So there's knowledge and there's understanding, and then wisdom is this, watch. Wisdom is the ability to apply what you both know and feel. So creativity is those three things. It's the understanding, it's the empathy to feel what a city needs, to feel what a people need. It's the intellect. Knowledge is the intellect to know what's needed. And then wisdom is the ability to apply what you feel and what you know. And I guarantee you, for you to get out what God has put in you, it's going to take understanding, it's going to take knowledge, and it's going to take wisdom to be able to act on it. Let me show you it like this. You got time? Because I got material if you've got time. The Bible's a big book, okay? We go all the way through it. Look what it says in Exodus 3, verse 7. This is everything I just explained outworked. The Lord said, I've indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I'm concerned about their suffering, so I've come down to rescue them. He saw and heard. In other words, he knew what the problem was because he saw it and he heard. The reason you know the problem in Stamford is because you've seen it and you've heard it. You know what this city needs. Then it said he was concerned He didn't just know, he understood. He understood what his people needed. And because he both knew and understood, it says that he came down to rescue them. In other words, he had a plan then. Wisdom was the application of what he knew and felt so that he could rescue his people. And watch this, I love this. How did he rescue his people? Through Moses. Because God always uses people to outwork a purpose. God always has used people and always will use people to outwork his purpose. If he wants to do something in the earth, the first place he goes is to people. Because people are God's greatest resource. God's not using inanimate objects. He is calling people. And he's putting his spirit on people, remember, for purpose, so that they can do the plan of God. So they can outwork the plan of God in the earth. That is why God puts his purpose on him. And creativity, by the way, is not one thing and not the other. It is not just for the intuitive people. It's not just for the painter. It's not just for the singer. It's not just for the musician. Creativity is both an intuitive thing, and it's also an intellectual thing. It is both, remember, understanding and knowledge. It's not either or. If you're an accountant today and you're like, I'm a more analytical person, I do numbers, sir, and I'm very good at numbers and detail, but I'm not like the person that can paint a picture and feel. I'm not super emotional. Like, if you put yourself in that box and think, therefore, you're not creative, I want to tell you today that you are. And creativity is a combination of both the intuition to be able to feel and also the knowledge to know. It's both things. It's intuition and it is intellect. It is having a dual citizenship to both the land of intuition and the land of intellect. It is freely being able to move between the two things. You could be a great painter. Like, you could know how to paint. You could know how to do something creative, but maybe you don't have the feel to be able to make it resonate with people. But it's both of those things. I think God knew that. God knew he wanted the combination of those things working together inside of you so that you could eventually actually use wisdom to do what God was calling you to do. Genesis 1:27, remember, he made us in his image. If he is a creator and he made me and you in his image, then you are a creative person. And your life is designed to produce something in the earth. And you have running within you the energy, the spirit of God. We have time still? I have no idea. There's no clocks anywhere. I could be here all week. Honestly, and I'll just keep going until someone grabs the mic, turns it off, or unplugs things and closes the doors. David knew that he needed the spirit of God on him to be able to do what he was called to do. He was an artist, wasn't he? He was a creative. He wrote poems, he wrote psalms, he wrote songs, he played. He was a creative person. And in Psalm 51, he said, do not remove your spirit from me. Please don't remove it, God. Please don't remove it. He'd seen Saul, right, lead the people because he had the spirit of God on him. But God removed his spirit from Saul. And he saw what happened. So David's prayer was, if I'm going to do something in the earth, I need the spirit of God. I need it close. I need it on me. He said, create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence. Because he knew if he was going to do something in the earth, it was going to be because he was close to the presence of God. This is what he understood. If my creativity, if I'm going to do something of creativity, if I'm going to do something, it is directly linked to my proximity to God's presence. To raise your family, to lead your family, it is directly linked to your proximity with his presence. To run your business, it is directly linked. That is not inconsequential. It is directly linked to your proximity to God's presence. This is what David understood. Please don't take, if I'm going to lead these people, if I'm going to lead this nation, I need the closeness, the proximity to God's presence. I need that. I can't live without it. And David's covenant with God was unique. It was unique because God removed his presence from Saul, but he promised David, I won't remove it from you. I'll be faithful to you, he said, to your house. And we know that the Davidic covenant, essentially, the lineage of that leads to Jesus, which is the same relationship and covenant we have with God, by the way, meaning the spirit of God that is on you has no plans to leave. No plans to leave. It's here to stay. Look what it says in John. I'll ask the Father and he'll give you another advocate to help, and he'll be with you for a moment. He'll be with you forever. Look at this, what it says. Next verse. It says, you were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked. Psh, like in Yellowstone, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. That's what you have. That's your gift. You have the Holy Spirit, the Ruach. In Hebrew, the Ruach HaKodesh. No wonder my throat sore. The Ruach HaKodesh. You have that Spirit. You have it within you. Look what it says here in Hebrews 13:5. It says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, I will never leave you and never forsake you. So in the Old Testament, there was moments where people got to do incredible things in the earth because God's Spirit rested on them. But in the New Testament, God's Spirit is poured out on all of us. There was the prophets that were enabled to do some incredible things in the earth because the Spirit of God rested on them. There were kings that were enabled to do that. There was Joseph who had incredible visions and dreams because the Spirit of God rested on him. There was someone in the Bible called Bezalel. That is a great name if anyone's pregnant, looking for a good name at the moment. Bezalel. And it says this in Exodus. This is one of my most favorite verses. It says Exodus 35:30. It says, then Moses said, I didn't write this, by the way. This is the Bible. I promise you. Believe me. I'm a pastor. You must believe me. It says, see, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, Ruach. Look what it says. This for me was such an incredible discovery, because I read Proverbs. I was already fascinated. Wow, God spoke and the earth was formed, and he used understanding, wisdom, and knowledge. And then it says the Spirit of God was on him, and with wisdom, with understanding, and with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills. It says to make artistic designs, for work in gold, silver, bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. Bezalel was the creative director and designer for the Ark of the Covenant. And the Spirit of God was on him and enabled him to be able to create and do something of significance through understanding, wisdom, and knowledge. But he was one of the first people we read about that did something incredibly creative in the Bible and artistic. And it was because the Spirit of God was on him. That's the overflow of the Spirit of God working within us. This was the Old Testament. Imagine. This is what, can I be honest with what frustrates me? Most creativity does not come from the church. We're following most of the time. Oh, look what they're doing. We're like running after stuff that everybody else is doing. Why are we not setting the pace? Why are we not setting the tone? Why are we not setting the standard? Why is it not in the house of God, in the kingdom of God, that we set a standard of creativity, of unique ways to communicate and express the goodness and gospel of God? Why is it not that we are doing that and everyone else is looking to the church going, there is something on those people that is significantly enabling them to be creative in a way that is inspiring? Because that's the potential we have. You might be sat here today thinking, wow, that's so good for some people that are creative, that like to paint. It is for all of us. Creativity is the ability to see a problem and become a solution. It's as simple as that. And every single one of them, of us, is a solution to some problem in the earth. And the faster we realize that we are a solution and what kind of solution we are to what kind of a problem, the faster you get in line with and accustomed to and comfortable with the purposes of God on your life. When you realize that is a problem that I'm frustrated with. And if you're frustrated with a problem, by the way, might be that you're the solution. Because most of us are like, oh, there's a problem over there, and we're frustrated, we complain, we write, we jump in the comments and we criticize. But actually, maybe you're not called to criticize. Maybe you're called to create, to do something of significance with the thing that you've got a problem with. This was the Old Testament, the New Testament. Joel 2:28, remember what it says, and I'm coming to a close now. I grew up Pentecostal, so this might be one of 17 closes. Says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Old men will dream dreams, and young men will have visions. You'll have visions and dreams and prophesy. The word, the Hebrew word for prophesy is Navi. And there's two images that represent and give us an insight into the meaning of this word. Before we had language like letters, we had pictographs, so like hieroglyphics. And these are the two pictures and images that are used to explain what this word prophesy means. Navi, maybe there's, is there a next one? Oh, we don't have them. Go back, it's fine. I'll explain them using words. Because you don't have the pictures, so I'll use words to explain the pictures. One of them is a line that goes like this. And then it points inwards, and essentially it means tent or inside. So they would use that word to explain inside. There's something inside. And then the other imagery for it is a seed. Those are the two things that represent the word prophesy. They used those images to explain what the word prophesy or prophecy meant. And here's what it is broken down. It is essentially there is a seed inside. There is a seed inside. So to prophesy is to discover there is something inside of you, and it's the Ruach Spirit of God on you that empowers you to get out what is in you. So if you have a dream, it's a seed on the inside. If you have a vision, it's a seed on the inside. If you see a better life for yourself or your family, it's a dream and a vision. And the ability to prophesy is to call out what God has put in you so that it gets out into the world. You can prophesy for other people, but you should be prophesying to yourself. God has called me to make a difference in this workplace, not just to show up, but to change the atmosphere. Maybe some of you got a dream and a vision to start a Bible study. How random is this? A Bible study in your workplace. It is a dream and a vision. Get it out. Sorry, that sounded like I was angry at you. I'm not angry at you. Get it out. That's better, isn't it? A little bit better. It's in you for a reason. You had that dream and that vision. Stoke that fire. Pour fuel on it. Get it out of you. I need somebody else. I need some help. You are a creative individual. The Spirit of God is on you to get out of you what he has placed in you. We're closing with this. Ephesians chapter 1 says this. Verse 15 to 20, this is a message version. It says, I'll ask the God of our Master, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. Your eyes focused and clear so that you can see exactly what he's calling you to do. Clarity for what he's calling you to do. It says, grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us that trust him. Look at this. Endless energy, boundless strength. Endless energy and boundless strength. Do I have what it takes to make an impact and a difference in this world? Endless energy and boundless strength. The Ruach Spirit of God working within you is not your strength. It isn't my strength. It is the Spirit of God working within in a boundless and endless way. And it says all this energy issues from Christ. Question. Do you have what it takes to make an impact and a difference in this world? What does the Bible say? Not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit, says the Lord. All from this knowledge of Jesus, this relationship that we have. Most of us think this, don't we? That if I'm going to do something of difference, it's going to be because I work harder. That's not what this is telling us, church. This doesn't say work harder. And I've got a problem, I think. My problem is I want to be productive. Like if I waste a day and I've only done 27 things, it's a frustrating day for me. Because I want to be productive. I love lists. I love checking. I don't love chicken too, but I love checking things off the list. I just love coming home at the end of the day going, yeah, I was productive today. I did stuff. That's not what this is telling me about my life. This is counterculture. This is upside down. This says don't try harder. It says trust deeper. It says trust deeper. And that was the revelation for me. If I'm going to make a difference in Zurich, Switzerland, if you guys as a church are going to make a difference, if your families, your workplace, that thing that God has put on the inside of you, it's not going to be from you working harder. It's going to be from you trusting deeper. And here's what this is too. It is the cure for pride. Because it's humility. Not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit, says the Lord. We're going to end with Psalms, the third ending. Because I know you've been studying Psalms this year, and deep into them. And I think this might be a good psalm for us to end on. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the mocker, but who delights in the law of the Lord, meditates on it day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by streams of water. Watch this. That yields its fruit in season, whose leaf doesn't wither. Whatever he does, prospers, because he's close to the source. Let's pray. God, we lean into you today. We recognize that you have called us to something. So we lean into you today. We're not going to spend our lives, exhaust our lives, God, by working harder. We're making a decision today, God, to trust deeper. To trust deeper in who you are, in your spirit on us, to make a difference, to work through us, to work in us, and then work with us to make a difference, God. We understand this today, God, that our priority is proximity. It's closeness to you, God. It's not out there doing, even in the church, it's not just doing stuff for God. It's not just serving and doing stuff for God. It's being with God. It's being close to Jesus. It's engaging with and being more aware of your spirit, God. So I pray today, God, that you'd give us not just a knowledge, but an understanding of what it means to be engaged with your spirit, close to your presence, so that we would get that boundless energy and endless strength to be able to gracefully and effortlessly do what it is that you've called us to do.
Thank you for listening today. If you have a prayer request, a question about faith, or would like to find out more information, visit us at connectcommunity.org. Don't forget to subscribe and share. See you next time.